You are entering an improvised comedy show, restricted to humans only. Improv for humans, with Matt Besser. Based on your suggestions and other sources of inspiration, Matt and guests will perform fully improvised scenes. Today's improvisers are Owen Burke, Andy Daly, and Bob Dassey.
Oh, welcome to Improv for Humans with Matt Besser. I'm here with some legends, Dassey, Daly, Burke.
Wow.
Not of improv, of bananagrams. They're okay in improv, but bananagrams.
Look at
these fucking guys. I have to apologize to Owen. I believe I got really mad. He thought that route. I was convinced there was only one spelling of it with an E at the end.
Oh, yeah.
R-O-U-T.
Like you got a... They
that was
routed.
A route.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have spelled it with an E, I guess, if I was speaking of routing someone. And I was wrong. I was wrong.
Oh, and if you were routing someone that way, you'd be a GPS system, you know?
God damn you. So I'd be out, we routed them, man. We routed them. What, you guided them to their next location after the game?
Huh? Owen dominated bananagrams.
Yeah. Dominated. There was one word, though. I don't remember what the word was. But
that one was bullshit.
That was really bad. It was
like a grunt or something, like duh.
No, it was like I made a verb out of an adjective or something. Thing. I was like, I don't remember what it was, but there was like two V's in it.
That's how I speak.
But your style, I was making sure all my letters were in nice, neat rows that I could be proud of how straight everything was, and you just didn't mess around with that.
No,
just
I just like, put
slap
words
it on
together.
There.
I just put words together. I was like, dyslexia, do your thing.
Speaking of straight rows, I was playing checkers with my wife last night. I haven't played in 20 years.
That's funny to me.
Checkers.
But we're playing.
I was sure you were going to say with your daughter.
Well, we were doing it for her.
Oh, okay.
We were showing her how to play.
Okay. A demo game.
And she, and
that's
and,
adorable.
And Sydney, Sydney was on my team.
Oh, okay.
And I advised her to be on my team. I'm like, you won't regret being on my team. So anyway, at one point I do a double jump, but that goes in a diagonal. It doesn't go like this. It goes like that. That's okay, right?
Yeah.
And Danielle was like, you can't do that.
What?
I've never seen that.
As long as
it's a king.
As long as that second
jump
could exist on its own. Like as long as jump is a jump that you could do.
That's what I showed her. I went, this is okay, right?
Right.
And this is okay, right? So I'm like, okay, so why can't I do that?
Did you go forward the whole time?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole, that's the.
I was like, that's the fun is when you trap someone to a double jump like that. That's what you dream of happening in the game.
You look for that.
And she's like, I've never seen that. Look, I was cheating.
The rules of checkers.
And this is a demo game for my daughter.
Yes. What did she learn?
All right, everybody, gather around. There's a lot of rules to this game, but I think it's worth it. If we set it up, we got all of our pieces. And I know no one has ever played this game before.
Should we just play something we know? Why don't we play, like, Scrabble or just something that we already know?
I'm so tired of all those games. I've mastered them all.
I think the rain is clearing up. I think we can go outside now.
Oh, yeah, it's cleared up. We can play croquet finally.
Guys, it took me 20 to 35 minutes to set up this game.
What's it called again?
It's going to take 4 hours to play it.
Oh.
We're at the beach. It's.
Oh, is it one of those everyone owns a country and we harvest wheat, that kind of thing?
No, this is.
I don't want to do that.
This game is called a philosophical investigation.
What?
It's where we question our beliefs.
Oh.
And if we can prove our beliefs, we move forward in the game.
Well, we can go outside. I brought bocce balls. It's when you throw a ball at another ball, and if it hits that ball, you win.
Oh,
that's
love that,
easy.
Right?
Let's
and you get
that.
That clack. The
yeah,
clack.
It's a bocce
that's
ball.
That's like croquet with that, the mallet.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to settle on.
I love that sound.
If you want to use your mind and the power of our mind, then we might be able to do something here. But if you want to go out and throw rocks at each other,
if we
caveman,
did your philosophical, who is it? Are you like the dungeon master? Who decides when your philosophy is right or wrong?
Well, I am the board leader, and I'm a Wittgenstein.
A I'm afraid.
You're a what?
I'm one of the philosophers.
Oh. So do we have to know philosophers?
Yeah, I don't know anything about philosophy.
Wittgenstein is a real...
I think I'm pronouncing it wrong, but it's close. Wooding.
Would I be like Sigmund Freud? Is that a philosopher?
What?
Isn't he a philosopher?
Sigmund Freud? He's a psychiatrist.
Yeah. I'd call Kierkegaard, I guess.
All right. I'm Sigmund Freud.
What's important about philosophy is that it still exists, even though we think we've got all the answers. Okay? Just because we've denounced everything, every sacred
3 hours into the game. I still don't understand why I have to roll before I
you
say
roll
my philosophy.
Because you are. Now okay. Roll.
Six and a three. I still don't
get Bonanza. Everybody, shift the seat to the left.
What? But I had 20 enlightenments.
Not anymore, buddy. That's how this game is. It's fun, right? It's fun.
But if my core philosophy is hedonism, which means I only do what I think I want to do. So I want to move to the right.
And he does, but then a couple of rolls later, he rolls double snake eyes and gets put in the ennui corner. And, honey, it's time to go. Are you guys still playing, Owen?
Yeah.
It's time to go. Playing? You guys is never came outside verb? With the children.
Is playing the verb I would choose, or is it just existing?
Did you guys smoke pot or something?
Didn't have to.
Yeah.
We philosophized.
Okay, we have to go home because it's bedtime.
Well, I have to resolve the conundrum that part of my philosophy is a detachment from material possessions, but I'm being encouraged to covet these enlightenment points, and I just don't know what to do. I can't win without coveting these enlightenment points.
That's called a paradox.
Oh.
Let's talk some more about that.
Make it into a game, folks. Croquet, bocce ball, cornhole, which I don't like the name of that game.
No, got to change the name of that
I call
game.
It Bago.
Bago?
That is what it should be called. Except that sounds like a nutsack, Bago.
I prefer
asshole to your nuts.
Yeah, I prefer nuts to assholes.
Like,
I
I'm sure the game came first before people started calling assholes cornhole. Right?
But like, we're literally walking
what
down
the cornhole, though.
Well, that's where, yeah, I would say I would equate.
I bet it started at some harvest festival.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
All right, everybody. Step on up. We got at State Fair, we got this new game this year. Okay.
Well, we have so much corn, we could feed so many people who are hungry.
Well, that's true, but why do we like people from outside our community when we can have fun with the corn in our community? So, everybody, step up to your pile of corn.
Yeah, right. What are we going to do? There's more corn than I can eat. I don't want to eat all this corn. Is this a corn-eating contest?
No. That's not till 5 p.m. Right now, you're going to take your corn and hold it like a Molotov cocktail.
A what?
You know.
You remember what we did to that church?
Oh, that's what we did. That's right. Okay.
All right. You know how it... You light the husked end of the top of the husk, and you throw it, and whoever lights the silo on fire first wins.
Oh, we're burning down the silo.
Who's in the silo?
Who's in the silo?
Well, yeah, I need a target.
We cut to a town hall meeting a couple of weeks after this. It was a huge catastrophe. It was the first corn husk did indeed light the silo on fire and set the entire state fair. Many cattle were lost, a few children. And we all know that we can't do that again next year. We'll have to find another way to use the surplus of corn.
Yep, we do have way too much corn in a bumper crop, and we've got to do something with it. I recommend we blow it up with dynamite next year.
Now, I brought this up before the game, but maybe we could feed hungry people
may
need the corn. Liberals. We're getting paid not to.
Liberal in town.
No, it's not being a liberal.
I worked hard to grow more corn than anyone here can eat.
But yeah, that's fine, but you don't just blow it up. Why put all that work and just blow it up? You know what I mean? You could give it and feed somebody.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you just give everyone health care while you're at it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like questioning a water balloon. Sure, we drink water, but you also can have fun with it.
Yeah. Grow your own damn corn to blow up.
I'm not blowing up corn. I get paid not to grow corn by the government.
How are we supposed to get the corn to the people who are so hungry?
Well, they're probably by a truck or a plane or a...
What if there was a big tube?
Ethanol's made out of corn, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
No.
I've been saying we should make ethanol for years.
Yep, you have, and none of us know how to do that. We've explored it, and it seems complicated. And so, once again, can we get a vote on my dynamite proposition? I'd really like to just blow up.
Let me throw this out there. If we put a big tube, all right, like let's get a big conduit thing and feed it across the nation. We use a big, long tube. We'll call it the cornhole. See?
And like the great gas lines that went from Canada to the United States of America, that became these great corn tubes that went from Iowa and spread to the rest of the state.
Billy, go outside and get some corn from the tube.
Foom, foom, foom.
Billy, don't stick your sister in the tube.
Chuckle, boom, 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 boom. And his little sister, Rebecca, in this hermetic tube-like corn tube, went all the way down from, where was that? That was Illinois, bumped all the way down to, yes, Mississippi, where she came out. Boom, 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 boom.
Uh-oh. What in the world is this?
What's that in our corn barrel?
I'm Rebecca.
Rebecca? Well, why, we came down to the corn tube to get some corn and found a little girl.
Where are you from?
I'm from Illinois. My brother threw me in the tube, even though Mama said not to throw me in the tube, and then he threw me in the tube, and then I got all corny, and then I'm all the way down here, and I really have to go pee-pee.
Well, we're going to raise you as our own, because the corn tube is a one-way tube. There ain't no way to send you back up there.
Can't you just put me on an Acela or a Greyhound or one of those Charles?
Well, I suppose we could build a child tube.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to need a bigger
because
tube.
This is going to happen again.
And so the people of the great state of Mississippi, because you know they don't like abortion down there, so they have way too many kids, and they would start pumping those kids up north.
Boom, boom, boom.
Where they would just empty out in Chicago.
New York City.
New York City. All these little southern kids from Mississippi.
California, yay!
Foom, foom, foom.
They always pop out like in big tourist trap areas like Times Square.
Look, it's
and Island.
We came to the child tube to get a new little sister. Let's see who comes up from Mississippi today.
Foom.
Oh, what's your name?
My name is Bruford.
Bruford, how old are you?
14.
Yeah, we don't need any 14.
Come on.
No.
We cut back to Mississippi where we see kids now just running away, and they cut holes into the child tube and work their way in there with all the babies.
Come on, let's go. We can get out of this town once and for all. We just got to jump in the kid tube.
I'm 25 years old. They'll never think I'm a kid.
You just got to act and talk stupid and young.
Put on this Pokemon hat.
Everybody,
boom,
get
boom,
your...
boom, 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 boom. And an adult that big had never been in the child tube, and there was a big bottleneck.
We got us a clog in tube number 326.
The pressure's building up.
Oh no!
Or we're gonna have to send in the D-Day. Send in the rocket.
This is the plan for when the tube gets clogged. We shoot a rocket through it.
Hey, you want to use your dynamite? This is your chance.
All right, fine. We're blowing up the child tube.
And so sometimes in the spur of the moment, you don't think about consequences. And he indeed put all the dynamite he'd saved to blow up the corn into the child tube. And it killed a lot of children. And we cut to about a year later. It's a parade through town for a Labor Day parade. Oh, there's that guy that blew up all those children.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Beautiful parade this year, isn't it?
Yeah, hey,
having Pete, a real, real nice
you think
time.
You would stay away from public places for at least a year.
That's fantastic. Yeah, everybody going to cook out tonight?
Oh, no, Pete. I think we're just all going home, Pete.
We're going home? What do you mean? It's Labor Day. We're going to
cancel the parade.
Canceling the parade.
It's not right what you did.
All right.
You weren't thinking you blew up all those babies.
Is that what this is about?
Not the time or the place.
We have all this corn left over and we have nothing to blow it up with.
Yeah, well,
that's not my problem.
Oh, what is your problem then?
Listen, everybody should have listened to me a long time ago instead of building a goddamn corn tube, which of course led to somebody building a child tube, which of course led to adults trying to sleep through the child tube and it getting clogged. Now, all of that was set in motion the day you fools prevented me from blowing up all that corn.
Let's talk some more about that.
I do like that idea of like sort of these man children trying to like escape instead of just like hitchhiking. The only way they knew how to get
throw
out
themselves
of
in a pneumatic tube, an interstate tube.
When do you have to stop calling yourself a runaway? Can you be an 18-year-old runaway?
I think once you land somewhere, right? You're not running anymore.
Maybe you're always running, Owen.
Yeah, maybe if you're running from yourself is ultimately what it is, right?
Yeah.
But guess what I'm saying? If a 13-year-old come up to you and said, I'm a 13-year-old runaway, you'd go, oh, no, I have to help you figure this out. If an 18-year-old said, I'm an 18-year-old runaway, you go,
good luck.
You're in college.
You got it from here, buddy.
Well, I think as long as you don't say goodbye and allow people to throw you a going away party, you're a runaway no matter how old you are.
That's true. My sister always threatened to run away. That was her thing. If we ever got into a fight, she'd go, I'm going to run away. I'm like, please don't run away.
You would?
Yeah, because I would be worried that she would run away and get lost or something.
Oh, that's like usually that. A threat to the parents, isn't it? That's interesting that a sibling would threaten that seriously.
Younger or older sister?
She's younger. A year younger.
Oh, so she was playing on your heartstrings.
Yeah. I got nervous.
Don't run away. Mom and dad will kill me.
Can we talk to you about your sister for a second?
Yeah.
Your mom and I are worried. Because Sheila says she's going to run away because of you.
What? No. I didn't do anything.
There's nothing worse to parents than having a child run away.
We want you to get along.
I'm trying to get along. I mean, you know, kids fight. I'm just trying to...
Is it true that you flicked one of her peas when you were eating dinner? You flicked one of them onto the floor?
Well, it was off the plate and went on my placemat. You know,
no wonder she wants to run away.
What?
You treat her like garbage.
Oh, if I threw peas at you, would you want to stay?
I didn't throw peas at her. I flicked it off my...
Here.
Hey!
Now, what do you want to do? Want to run away?
No. I don't.
Here, let me try it.
Hey!
That makes you want to run away, doesn't it?
Well,
it's not so great to have a pillow. And think about a pea the size of a pillow and think of your sister.
Aim for the face. Here, try this. This is an eraser.
This has now just turned into an abuse
section.
Don't
throw it like that. Your mom doesn't know how to throw.
Well, I'm...
Now, doesn't that make you want to throw away? Think about how your sister feels.
You two are making me want to run away. I've never wanted to run away
before.
This
is you making you want to run away because you make your sister want to run away.
You're doing this to yourself.
No, you're literally doing this to me.
Here, throw the eraser at yourself. Just bounce it off the wall.
Do it.
Just try it.
I would do it, but I wasn't encouraged to play sports when I was growing up, so I can't throw, apparently, according to your dad. A lot of things I can't do. I can't make a sandwich.
You're more pushing the ball than throwing it. I keep telling you that.
Does that make you want to run away, Mom?
When you children were born, I had fantasies.
Wait, when we were born?
Mm-hmm.
Was it our addition to the family that made you want to run away?
Oh, yeah. It was displacement. I felt I didn't belong. I needed to leave.
Have you ever seen a woman try to run away with an umbilical cord still attached to her baby? It is not, it's an awful sight. It's like watching someone be dragged behind a truck.
Sometimes you don't think about consequences, you know? Sometimes you just gotta go.
But she didn't run away, did she?
No. I stayed, God damn it. And now you gotta stay, and so does your sister.
I'm in agreement with all of this.
We want you to apologize to your sister about the pee.
Okay, I'll go apologize. Deborah, Sheila.
Deborah, Sheila.
What do you want?
Sheila.
What? You want to throw more peas?
I didn't. First of all, I didn't throw a pea, but can we just.
You. What do you call it?
I flicked it off my Cookie Monster placemat.
Here, Sheila.
Yeah.
Sheila, this is an eraser in case things get rough.
Thanks, Sheila. Mom.
You're welcome.
Sheila.
We love you more.
What? Hmm? Sheila, I'm sorry for flicking the pea at you.
And making me want to do what?
And making you want to run away.
Yeah, which would have been whose fault if I had done it?
Well, ultimately yours, because you would have run away.
Wrong! I'm running away! No. I'm running away! He won't take responsibility!
I just said I'm sorry. This is when parents should now start parenting. I'm 9 years old. I shouldn't be responsible for her well-being.
We cut to a dinner that night after apologies have been forced. Okay. Tonight, I made some Brussels sprouts out on the grill.
Mm.
Okay?
That's complicated.
That's a lot of work for Brussels sprouts.
They're worth it. They're worth it.
Got to put them in the veggie basket.
Yeah, they're going to fall through the grate. Like, really? Do you really, like, grill Brussels sprouts that much? You didn't even cook this. You cooked the steak in the oven.
He has a method. He knows he likes to sear it.
I like to bake my steak. Grill my sprouts.
That's what he does. That's that. Your father is a magnificent innovator in the kitchen.
I don't know.
I mean, he told me I can't cook, so I guess there's no need for me to help him out.
You don't cook as much as you warm things up, is what I see.
Mm-hmm. He took away my microwave, so... Enjoy your Brussels sprouts smoked on the grill.
Enjoy them. Mm. Okay. You got
a Brussels sprout on my placemat. Yeah.
Oh, my God. If you guys know, like, grilled Brussels sprouts, especially when they come right off the grill, that first layer is piping hot. And, like, if it'll stick to your face like fucking plastic.
Yeah.
And it just gets perfectly in her eye, and she can't take it out of her eye.
My Sheila.
Hey there, Mr. Conductor. Can I get a ticket for one?
Well, where are you going, young lady?
Anywhere the train will take me. Anywhere far from home.
Well, this is a cattle train, so we're going to the where they chop up all the animals. You ready for that? We bus it. We take the train right in there.
The train goes right into the slaughterhouse?
Right into the slaughterhouse.
Of course it does. It goes straight into the, and it's a kosher slaughterhouse. So she ends up in front of, I think they're actually rabbis. And this girl's hanging upside down on one of these. Stop. Stop. Hold the line. This is not a cow.
Oh, thank goodness.
This is not a cow. Hold the line.
I can't believe I bought a ticket for this train.
It's a little girl.
Hi.
What's your name?
It's Sheila and Deborah. Sheila Deborah.
You're not a cow, and you're sure not kosher.
Thank you. I ran away from home because my brother was constantly throwing food at me, or flicking. What's the difference? But I certainly didn't mean to end up here.
Moo, I'm not a cow either. Moo, I ran away from home too.
That's a cow!
Moo, no!
Bullshit, that's a cow.
Moo, Sheila, Deborah, why would you throw me under the bus like
Don't
that?
Don't confuse them. Now they'll have no idea what is and isn't a cow. I'm definitely not a cow.
Moo, Sheila,
Deborah. And we see the cow get returned to Deborah Sheila's house.
Moo, hi, Mom and Dad.
Sheila looks different.
Oh, it's that Brussels sprout really screwed up her face.
Are you happy now? Judge. Because look what you've done to your sister.
I didn't know I was doing anything when I flicked the hot Brussels sprout into her eyeball.
Well, you turned her into a beast.
Hey, Moo, Sheila Deborah doesn't like that kind of talk.
And we cut to 2 years later when Sheila Deborah has brought her boyfriend home. He's like the captain of the football team.
Yeah. Moo, Mom, Dad, meet Moo Brad.
Hey, what's up, you guys?
It's Moo Brad.
Yeah.
Well, Brad, you look like a wonderful young gentleman.
Oh, that's cool. Thanks.
Now I hear you play for the football team.
Yeah, I sure do.
How's your season going?
We're having a pretty good season.
Pretty good. Brad's the moo best.
we won the first game of the season, and then we've got into a little bit of a slump, but it was exciting to start off with a win.
That's right.
Sheila Deborah's little brother, Owen, is a huge football fan. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. Where's the little dude?
I'm right here.
Hey,
you
what's
sitting
up?
On me.
Oh, sorry, man. I just saw a chair that was almost empty.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I was at the game. You were at the
homecoming?
Well, I do. I hold the sticks on the line to move the lines down.
Oh, is that you?
Yeah. As they're speaking, Deborah Sheila starts lactating all over the carpet.
Yeah, I'm really a big fan.
Sheila, you're dripping.
Moo, Mom. Moo, Matt, you're embarrassing me.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. No, I love that. I love that she makes milk. I think that's awesome. Like,
oh, Moo, Brad Moo loves it.
We cut to Inspiration Point where he's sucking milk out of her udders.
Oh, man, this is the best milk. You can't get milk like this anywhere. It's Moo, Brad, so pure.
Moo, Brad, this feels so... Moo, Brad, tell me you Moo love me. Moo, Brad, tell me you Moo love me.
I love you, baby. I love you. This is amazing. I can't get... You can't get milk like this.
Oh, man. Let me get some of your Moo milk.
Yeah.
Moo bread.
Yeah, well, it's a little different, but
Moo milk you, Moo bread.
All right.
We cut to the team on the road in one of those hotels where you get cereal in those, one scoop packages, and he gets some Rice Krispies, and he goes over to the place with the milk dispenser, and everyone's in their sweats on the football team. We see Brad gets a big old boner. As he's pouring his milk into the Rice Krispies.
Oh, man, yeah. Oh,
hey, man, what's going on with you?
Hey, buddy, what's up, man?
Hey, Brad, your sweatpants are hanging pretty funny. What's up, Brad?
What you all horny for, man?
What up, Brad? You pouring milk, man. What are you doing?
Cool it, guys. Don't be such dicks. This milk reminds me of my girlfriend, of course.
You cool it, and you don't be such a dick. Come on.
You guys don't get horny when you're pouring milk into your Rice Krispies?
No, Brad, I don't get horny.
Hey, man, I don't want to ever judge anyone because, you know, football players, we don't judge.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest.
Very
I think your lady has too many titties.
Fuck you, man. You're fucking so obviously jealous. My girl's got six titties.
She got a big old sack. All right. Yeah, you don't have to throw it around her face.
That's three times as much as any of you guys.
That's six girls. Times as much as me, bro.
Yeah, wait. No, you know what I'm saying.
Wait a second.
All three of your girlfriends together have as many tits as my girl.
Well, I don't have
and
a
you're
girlfriend.
Jealous.
Don't put that. I don't have a girlfriend. Fine.
Why don't you, your girlfriend, hook us up, man? You holding out them titties on yourself.
Those are all mine, man.
Hook a guy
six
up, man.
Six titties.
You're a titty glutton, man.
Now my cereal's soggy from all this talking. Damn, Golden Grahams get soggy so fast.
We cut to the... It's only the third quarter of the football game, but the star quarterback, he's throwing up milk in the middle of the field in the huddle. Hey, man, what's up with you?
Oh, man, I was out late with my girl last night, man. I was
just fucked up.
Get your head in the game. Moo, Brad, you can do it. Moo, Brad, you
She's
can
fucking
do
up
it.
Your game, man. You can't drink. Everybody knows you can't drink that much milk.
Man, I was drinking milk all night long.
Hey, man,
I was just, I kept coming back for it,
If
man.
You're throwing up, man, you might be lactose intolerant.
Oh, shit.
You got to tell your girl it's over. We cut to prom,
and it's... the couples are in line to get the big prom photo, and he has this flop sweat.
Oh, man.
Hi, Moo Brad. What's going on with you, Moo, tonight?
I got something really hard I need to say.
All right, you guys are on deck.
Oh, we're going to get Moo picture taken.
There's no good time to say this, but look, I can't drink your milk anymore. I went to the doctor, and he's...
Moo Brad!
That's why I've been throwing up and getting the shits.
Oh, no, Moo Brad! I'm making you sick, Moo Brad!
No, I can't drink any more.
Okay, you guys are up. And they step and...
Moo crying. Moo. Moo. Moo.
She's crying and lactating.
Moo Brad. Moo.
Keep it together.
She takes a big shit on stage. Big old cow shit. Oh, man. Look at Brad's girlfriend.
Hey, be cool. Be cool, you guys. Be
cool, you guys. Like, she never took a shit in front of us before. Come on, you guys. Cool it, cool it.
Whoa, man.
Green. It's like that movie Moo Carey, but it's Moo Brown instead of Moo Red.
Let us call Coach Jason Brown from Last Chance U.
Hello.
Coach JB, welcome to the show. This is Matt Besser, Improv for Humans. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, how you doing? Appreciate you having me.
Dude, I am a huge fan of yours. I've loved Last Chance U Season 3 and Season 4. That's where everyone should start to watch. If you like reality television or football, watch that show. Coach JB, very entertaining man, great coach. I'd like to start by saying, fuck Iowa refs and fuck Coach Jeff Sims. What do you think about that?
Hey, kudos to you, brother.
Yeah. I just want you to know where I'm coming from.
I didn't know what type of show we were on. I was thinking I had to be like proper.
No. That's why I said that. I want you to know what kind of show you're on and whose team I'm on. So I'm going to catch up my listeners who might not have watched Last Chance U on a couple of things. But Coach JB here, Jason Brown, he was at Independence in junior college in Kansas, and it was a program that had many years losing record until he came there, recruited, got the program turned around, and in season three took him to a 9-2 record and really changed the whole dynamic of the football team and indeed the city, and was really a hero to many people. And so that's in a nutshell what happened. And in season four, I just want to talk about a few things that I thought were hilarious, and people should watch the whole thing. But because I'm a comedian, I watch for the comedy of it. I'm also a football fan. By the way, I'm a Hog fan, and Rakeem Boyd is a gift from your junior college to the Razorbacks. That's a whole other story. But anyway, on one episode, these Iowa refs, so they go up to Iowa to do a game. And these refs, who know they're on a reality show, start screwing with Coach JB in particular. What flag were they throwing on you? You were out of your zone when you were calling offensive plays?
Yeah, unbelievable. Never seen a head coach get a flag for that. Never.
And how many flags did they give you for that?
Well, that was one. And then when I called them a couple motherfuckers, I think that was the second one.
So when you call the motherfucker, in an average game, because we don't have mics on coaches, in an average college football game, can a coach get away with calling a ref a motherfucker, or is there a line?
I don't know, man. I think it's a great American word, and it should be used more, to be honest. So I try to say it more and more so other people can catch on to it and use it, because I think it's needed a little more in America. But
I believe, but I'm asking, do most coaches do that? Will Saban call a ref a motherfucker?
Yeah. I'm pretty positive.
That's what I thought.
There's some coaches. Let me clarify this whole Iowa thing, too.
Yeah.
Because it's the first time I've been asked about it. It is a rule that is probably the most racist, the most asinine rule. When I tell you, you're probably going to say you got to be shitting me. So there's a rule out there in Kansas and Iowa football and the NJCAA and this conference, Mississippi, all these different JUCOs, that if the N-word is used on the field, you're going to be kicked out of that game and you lose two more games. So you're going to lose three games in this kid's situation that I was defending. So what happened is, just so you know, I mean, football in junior college predominantly is a black sport, and let's be honest. And so I'm from the inner city, and everyone that knows me knows my situation and how I am. There's a kid on their team, black kid, came over to our sideline and our coaches and called him a bitch-ass N-word.
Yeah, that's so, on the documentary. You see that happen, yeah.
Okay, so that happened. I haven't watched that. So I see that happen. So that happens, and then my kid gets a flag thrown on him for saying the word. So I immediately said, wait, how do you know, long story short, how the hell do you know who the fuck said it? There's 19 of 22 players out there that are black.
Right.
How the fuck do you know my black player compared to their black player? And I said, and I want to know, what does the white kid get kicked out for? Because the white kid ain't saying that word. So if he gets, what does he get kicked out for? Saying ass or shit or bitch or what? Like, so it, they knew I was onto something. I fought it tooth and nail. I tried to go get a restraining order to have the kid play. He lost 3 games of film. I mean, he got fucked. And it's the shittiest rule in America. And I don't, somebody needs to take it to legislation and figure this thing out. But, you know, it's just like a white kid calling each other bro. The black kid says it and he's kicked out. Like, it makes no sense to me. So that's a whole nother ballgame, but that's why I fought for this kid that day. And that's why I motherfucked the Iowa ref.
Right. But, I forgot about that whole aspect of it. They were picking on you. And is it kind of a general thing that, and I'm asking, I don't know, but is it a general thing that an Iowa ref from Iowa is going to support the Iowa Junior College over the Kansas Junior College because that's where their bread is buttered?
Yeah, all day. I mean, and they're not as trained as well as the Kansas JUCO refs.
Oh, interesting.
The Kansas Junior College refs have a huge big-time fraternity. They have a huge support system. A guy named Craig Helser, he does all the he's the trainer, the main ref, and he's big time. He trains with Division One. He gets those refs in Kansas acclimated to everything that's up and coming, new rules, how to deal with the players for the most part. You know, there's some guys who are always going to have refs. They're human beings, man. They make mistakes. You know, I'm just a fiery guy that's in the heat of the battle defending my players. And I just like, you know, when you're on camera, it's funny that they don't want to come to the sideline. And that's all I asked for the whole 2 years. I said, just come tell me what kid of mine did a stupid fucking thing.
And those guys agreed in the show. They agreed, yeah. And then they did not come to the sideline.
Yeah, they would not come. And Craig pushed those guys to do it, and they continued. They just wouldn't come by the cameras. And I think, you know, it was easier to throw flags on me because you never were going to come over to me anyway and tell me. So, you know, it's human, man. I don't cry over spilled milk. I don't have any ill will towards any of those guys. I just think it's hard because I think when we became an out-of-state league, contrary to everybody's belief, we only had 20 out-of-staters when I took the job. And then it became an out-of-state league, not unlimited. So we could recruit the nation. Right. Not have to recruit any Kansas kids. And I think the game became a lot faster. And I believe the refs struggled in the transition or the acclimation period. They struggled. And, you know, there are a lot of Division II refs that ref our JUCO games. And Division II, to be honest, is probably 5 times slower than our league, our conference. And that's just what it was. And they couldn't grasp. I don't think they ever caught up.
Okay, I'm speaking ill will. I want to talk about what I would consider your nemesis at Garden City Community College, Coach Jeff Sims. Now, in season 3, the Independence Pirates, Coach JB's team, beat Garden City, and it's a glorious game. And Jeff Sims is kind of the Belichick of this league, you know, and he's very much like a military school kind of guy, right? The way he does his coaching, which is not the way Coach JB does his coaching. So it's a contrast of styles. But Coach JB isn't judging Sims' style, but Sims is continuously judging Coach Jason Brown's style. And that is highlighted in the show. And Coach Jeff Sims would like to pretend that he's above it all and above the fray and above name calling and all that kind of thing. But in season 4, episode 4, when they play Garden City, you see this guy, Coach Jeff Sims, go from the, we're not going to go down to their level and talk the way they talk, to they got him mic'd up the whole game. He has a complete meltdown the entire game on the coaches. He's cursing at the coaches, right? He's yelling at them. The game is incredible. It's a great game. At the end, Garden City does win. But when they win, mm-hmm. Coach Jeff Sims is such a sore loser. It is hilarious. It's hilarious how much a sore loser he is. And he's like a little bitch because he's someone – This is what he does. He goes up and he shakes the hand of JB's assistant coach. And then as he's backing away, as he's backpedaling, starts calling the guy out. I forget what he said exactly, but he starts shit-talking the way he said he was not a shit-talker. Yeah. And right. I think JB would say, hey, I'm a shit-talker. You can shit-talk, but this guy's a hypocrite, right? So you didn't watch that? Did you watch that episode?
Man, I did. I watched a little bit of it. They send it to me early, Netflix does. So I get a snippet of it. And so we went through them all. Usually it's as a proactive deal to try to get ahead of it in case PR purposes. So we were watching it, and I thought it was fucking – I was like, wow, that's crazy. Because the year before, we beat their ass, and I shake hands like, fuck, it ain't nothing. To me, I'm worried about the next game. It is what it is. You win some, you lose some, and fuck – to be honest, man, our team was by far better. It was clear. We're up 21-0 with like 3 minutes gone in the first quarter. Like we came out, and what happened was the nucleus of our team set in, and we were all there for fucking cameras to be on Hollywood. I mean, that's what it was. We had a horrible nucleus. And so we just didn't know how to win because we lost 6 days out the week in the community and everywhere else. So it was a shitty ass fucking deal. But for him to do that, I mean, just it was comedy, man. I just thought it was a classless act. And, you know, I was never going to do that shit, win or lose. And, you know, we won it all the year before, and you never saw me do that shit. So, I mean, it's just funny how powerful those cameras are and how bad people want to become actors. I'm not an actor. I'm just a fucking coach.
If you had not been held back, would you have punched him?
I don't know, man.
I should tell our listeners there was a huge riot after the game. When their coach started shit-talking, everything just went to hell, and both teams – everyone was fighting. All the coaches were fighting. State troopers had to come on the field and lead them away. It was crazy.
It was crazy, man. They tried. See, what happened was the league started this rule, don't shake hands after the game.
Uh-huh, which that's a good rule.
Cowardly fucking rule. Yeah. To me, because the reason I say that is because in junior college, I think you need to be accountable and control your guys. I've never had a fight on one of my teams as a head coach. And those coaches couldn't control their guys, and that's the way they made the rule. They had fight after fight after fight, week in and week out. And I've never had the problem. So I wanted my kids to shake hands, learn how to be fucking drop your nuts, and you got hair on your nuts. You know the difference between right and wrong. Go fuck, shake their hands, shut the fuck up, and let's go home. And they didn't want to do that because they were scared of fights. And so I was the only one that was against the rule. And so anyway, that happened. So I already had left. I was leaving. They don't really show. I left with half the team to the locker. Mm-hmm. And then I hear that shit, where are you at, JB, or whatever. And that's when I was like, who the fuck said that? And so, you know, that's
the best
got me
time
going.
To say, so, where are you at to someone when you're standing behind a whole football team?
Yeah,
who wants to fight me with a football team in front of me? That's how I would pick a fight.
50 yards away. Yeah.
All right, Coach JB. And of course, I'm not going to get into the whole Hitler thing. As a comedian, so Coach JB would, you know, he was on the level of the players talking their language, and he would discipline them by talking their language and getting in their face and saying all sorts of crazy shit, which is hilarious for a reality show, by the way. But these players know where they're at. It seems like 99% of them know when they're at. But this one kid from Germany did not like Coach JB saying, I'm going to be your Hitler or something like that. And to me, it's like knowing in the comedy world, it's like knowing the room you're in. Like certain rooms, you don't make the Hitler jokes. In other rooms, in the context of the scene, you can make the Hitler joke. But I feel you there, and I know you didn't have any racist or ill intent when you actually said that. You were just trying to get in that kid's grill like everybody else's grill. So,
yeah. I'm still confused on the racist comments I'm hearing, because it's like everyone that knows me knows where I'm from and what I do. My daughter's black, by the way. But anyway, I think he's from Germany, so I don't know how the fuck it's racist.
Yeah, well, I'm a German myself, so Besser, I forgive you.
So, I appreciate it. And, you know, I don't blame the kid, man, at all, because the kid called himself that word. He portrayed him. He walked around with the Mein Kampf book. I mean,
really?
Oh yeah, that, all the truth will come out soon, brother. Trust me. So
that's all. I didn't know that aspect.
Yeah, and I got pictures. But anyway, he was doing that those things, and we had a Jewish president, man. And I was like, look, I'll be damned if he represents this team doing that shit. I said, our kids don't do that shit. And he was up in the academic halls marching the march of what that guy would do. Hey, you know, it's just a bunch of shit. And the kids called him the word. He called himself that. If you watch the show, you see me calling him it, and he's laughing and giggling because he called himself that when he walked in the office when he came there the year before. So it was an ongoing thing. And, you know, I reprimanded the kid in person, brought him in and told him, listen, you keep – what happened was, so you know, I don't let the guy say the bitch word around females. I tell them to raise your hand if you have a mother. They all do. I say, listen, if you got a mother, you're not going to fucking say the word on my watch. So you don't hear my kids saying that word a lot unless they're shitbirds and they get cut anyway. But we teach a lot more things, man, than the normal. But, you know, brought the kid in and said, listen, you're fucking now creeping out all the women on campus. So all the females, coaches and girls would come on and say, this guy's a fucking weirdo. And he's breaking in the weight room. He's fucking coming in there when the girls are working out, doing some weird shit. So I reprimanded and suspended dude in person. Well, then he immediately goes up there to the academic hall doing all this crazy shit, has that book and has all these things going on. So that's when I texted him that. And I still text
him
that.
That's not a good book for him to have unless it's on his reading list.
And I text him that. I text him that still in a way that I was going to help the kid because I knew that's what he called himself. That's what everybody called him. I said, listen, I'm now your new boss, basically, is what I told him. Come see my ass because your ass is fucked and I'm cutting your ass and hopefully I can save you. But, you know, he was a manager, man. He begged to be on. I said, listen, it might toughen your skin and make you a better fucking human being down the line. I said, I'll let you be a part of the team if you can handle these things. And so when he went home for Christmas break, he came back. I let him on the team. And he overnight seemingly became the biggest cancerous shitbird on our team. And overnight. And it was something after another. And they don't even show all that text message. They scratch out a lot of it. It was taken so badly out of context. I still to this day don't blame the kid. I don't blame kids ever. It was the cowardly adults that took the message and ran with it and tried to, you know, fuck someone over. And they didn't fuck me, brother. Just so you know, they fucked 200 kids I had under my watch and 15 coaches. And that's the problem. And that's what's sad about it all.
Yeah,
but, you know,
I regret
doing it and in the life that I did. And, you know, we live and we learn, man. And it's in my book, Hate Me Now, Love Me Later, which is a bestseller. And I'm shocked as hell that it is. And it is what it is, man. I'm glad that people supporting the book. But there's a session in there about that that whole process. So.
Interesting. Hate me now, love me later. That's the phrase the coach uses a lot. It's funny. He has a lot of great phrases you could put in a poster or a bumper sticker. Now, so you're living in L.A. now, right?
Yeah, I'm back outside, right outside L.A. I just bought a new home out here, had it from scratch and out in the Inland Empire. A lot fucking cheaper than L.A.
Well, so, I hope you get a new coaching job. I think the world would like you to get a new reality television job. I say let's just
no doubt
follow you around.
Well, shit. Hook
be
it
a
up,
life
man.
Coach.
Let's go. Me and you get on some shit together.
All right. I got to have you come do ASCAP monologues. You don't even know what that is, but you got to get involved in our comedy world. All right.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right, Coach JV. Well, thanks for being on the show, and I'll talk to you later.
Hey, anytime. I appreciate you.
Okay. Thanks, man.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Breaking news about the Mein Kampf. That's an angle not in the reality show at all.
Is it in the book? I don't know.
It's totally in the book.
Gotta check that book out.
Ooh.
I love when he draws lines like, no one can say bitch or they're a shitbird. It's like, it's funny to have to draw lines in your language. But every family does it. You know, I'm sure you guys do it, right?
Sure.
With your girls, like, you could say, like, Danielle the other day was reacting to hell. It was in a song, and I'm like, why can't she know the word hell?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I don't understand.
They're like, one of my daughters was like, oh, that sucks. And I was like, you cannot use that word. Like, that's too negative a word, and I just don't want you using it. And I don't know why. For some reason.
Interesting.
Like, I think if they
You're
said,
putting that up with stupid.
Oh, yeah, and dumb. Stupid. Calling each other stupid is definitely, you can't call each other stupid.
Well, that makes sense. I don't know if I'm going to be on board with your sucks thing.
Yeah, for some reason. That
sucks. You suck is not good.
Yeah.
But that sucks.
But that stinks. It doesn't bother me, but that sucks does.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm just like, oh, I don't like that. You know, I just feel like it's like, I don't want
to say it. They're going to say it outside your ear, right?
I guess, you know, but hopefully they say it less because I think, like, I don't want them in school being like, that sucks, you know, or I don't know.
They're gonna.
Yeah. I mean, they're saying, believe me, I know there's
saying. There is a funny denial that our 12-year-old doesn't use any curse words. We don't use curse words around each other, but she knows them all, of course. And I don't know what she's using outside of the house.
My son uses frick, which makes me uncomfortable.
Frick.
Wow.
Which I think he got from Adventure Time or something like that.
Well, they also use it on The Good Place, too, or something, don't they?
Oh, fork.
Yeah. Fork.
Or fork.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry. Fork. Battlestar Galactica, is it frack?
Frack. Frack. Yeah, frack. I never caught on. I should catch on.
They, I think they, because you know, you're not supposed to say God damn it, but in Battlestar Galactica, they would say God's damn it. And I think they got away with it because of that. It's like, gods. Oh, it's not the God we know.
No, it's a fictional group of gods.
Wait, are they not, is that, they don't have this, like, what is their God in Battlestar Galactica? I thought they, what are they?
I don't know. I'm talking about the newer Battlestar Galactica where they it's a
robot
pantheistic.
God?
Yeah, right, robot gods.
They had this whole.
No, they believe in multiple gods.
Yeah, there was a whole.
So say we all.
So say we all. It's a good show.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, which show?
The newer Galactica. Battlestar Galactica.
The new, the new one. The sci-fi one. It was like 2006 or something like that.
I so good. Dad?
Yes.
You know how you said that if I curse, I, you know, when I get frustrated, I have to say something. You said I can't say, I won't say the word, but that I could say frack instead.
Yes.
Okay. Can I say frick?
Honey, no, I don't want to hear that word come out of your mouth again.
I can say frack.
Yes.
To say, of course when you can I mean, say frack. I'll say the word fuck.
Yes.
Which I'll never say a word.
Never again. Say that word.
But, you but can in say context of analyzing, you said in that context, I can say.
Yes. It. If analyzing and we're talking about it as, you know, sophisticated people, you could say it.
Semantics.
Semantics, yes. So you're not using. So, yes, you can
so
say frack.
I can say frack when I mean fuck, but I can't say frick when
so
I mean frack.
Please stop saying that word. What are you doing?
Is it because it sounds like prick? So it's like fuck, prick.
I have no problem with prick.
That guy's a prick. You have no problem with that.
No, because he like pricks you. It's like, ugh, I don't like that guy.
That guy's a dick.
That's fine.
That guy's a penis.
Yes.
That guy's a hard penis.
Yes.
See, I can't say these over at Joanne's house.
Well,
they don't have the same rules and it's confusing.
Well, I just hope you're not using that other word out in public.
And I can say God's damn, but not
yes.
Goddamn.
Why would you? You know, he, capital H, can hear you, capital H.
Can
so please.
He?
Huh?
Frick.
Oh, that's it. I'm getting the soap. I'm washing your mouth out with
What's
soap.
What's the difference? It's one vowel, Dad.
Come to the kitchen sink. I'm
oh, washing Dad, your come mouth on. It's soap. One vowel.
Yeah, one vowel.
You're so freaking illogical.
Oh, my gosh. Honey! Linda!
What? What's going on?
I don't give a frick about any of your rules.
What's going on?
Dad's acting like a mother freaking asshole.
How dare you?
Oh, my God.
Well, honey, what kind of language is that?
Well, I'm sorry, but I can't believe what was just said in our home.
Our daughter is using the fr word.
Do you two even frick anymore? Is that what this is about? Because you haven't fricked in years.
Oh, how dare you?
We
shocking.
Fracked last night.
Yes, we frack all the time.
Do you fuck all the time?
Well, yeah. Are we analytically discussing?
Yes.
Yes.
Are we analytically discussing sex or the word fuck?
Both.
Sex and using it in a
semantics in the term. Context of the actual use of the word as a verb.
Well, then in that case, yes, we fuck frequently. And,
really?
And we often describe it as fucking. We like that
word. Yeah, we don't like making love if we feel like that is Not what we do.
Right.
That, people do make love.
Sure they do.
We
don't. Do not do that.
There's no love in what we do. We're not making anything that's close to love. We are just straight up fucking.
That sounds like freaking.
Hey! That is enough!
Knock it off.
Speak to me like an adult and tell me why that's so much different. What's the difference?
It's
just a couple of letters.
Derogatory.
How?
Because I said so.
It is disrespectful to the word fuck and the act of fucking.
That is absolutely
How is
right.
fracking not disrespectful to it?
There's just something about the A sound that's gentle.
It's also,
that makes you think of apples.
It's also you bring, much like fracking, you're bringing something up from the soil.
But that's much like fracking, that's an awful thing to do to the earth.
Is it?
Is it? We import much less oil from the Arab world.
That's right. Those
destabilizing those countries with our
terrorism. Tourism people.
Yes. Why should we buy oil from Saudi Arabia?
I love it when you talk like this, Linda.
Freaking older generation. With your freaking philosophies.
Oh my God. I am gonna take out this conversation on your mother tonight. We are going to fuck.
Oh man, it is gonna be brutal.
It is gonna be brutal. All right, let's order some Chinese food. Sure. Eat it an hour ahead of time
Smart.
So we don't cramp.
Yes.
But then we're not cooking and cleaning up, and we're just saving our time for fuck time.
See that? You got to plan these things.
You have to plan. When you're a parent, you have to plan fuck time.
Yeah, it's not spur of the moment.
It's not like, wow.
And then we're in the middle of, it's later that night, and they're right on schedule, but not ahead of schedule, just right on schedule.
I had my last swallow of General Tso's exactly an hour ago.
You know what I did? I was going to have, I saw that last egg roll.
Yes.
I did not eat. I was like, because it was within the hour, and I was like, I am not getting a cramp. I am not
no
going to seize
cramps tonight.
No cramps tonight.
Suddenly, tornado sirens, as they're apt to do this time of year, start going off.
Oh, of course, tonight.
No.
All right. Well, we can get this in before the tornado
Let's do
hits.
It. I mean, they jump the gun on those sirens all the time.
I mean
they don't. So they start to fuck in their normal way, and since it's so rote for them, not root or out, but rote for them, right, they can get hard, get wet, get right into it. They're on rhythmic scheduled orgasm.
Hi-ya! Hi-ya! Hi-ya!
Oh, yes! Oh, yes!
But then suddenly lawn furniture just gets smacked against the side of the house.
Oh, no! The lawn furniture's fucking the house!
Don't stop!
Hi-ya!
Stop! We don't need that lawn furniture!
Hi-ya!
I hated
Hi-ya.
That set!
Hi-ya!
The bicycle hits the side of the house.
Hi-ya!
This is a strong house. My father built it. We'll be fine.
Why didn't our daughter put her bicycle away? If it was in the garage, it wouldn't have hit our window.
Exactly.
Hi-ya. Hi-ya.
Oh, yes.
Hi-ya. Some of the drain pipe starts to rip off.
Hi-ya.
Flies away.
Don't worry about it. It's not going to rain again for another week. I'll do it tomorrow morning.
A cow.
Oh no, Sheila Debra!
Oh no, Mushila Debra!
Sheila Debra smashes into their window, into their bed of fuck making.
Get out of here, Sheila Debra!
Moo, hi, Aunt Linda and Aunt Pete. Moo, hi. What are you guys doing? Moo fucking or moo fricking? Hey!
Let's talk some more about that.
So did I lose you guys? Was that too inside the show for you? Were you guys like, what the fuck are they talking about?
No, it was really interesting, like, that there is, like, what, like, the whole community that it's, like, there's such a community aspect of that kind of football, you know? That, like, when you said there was a riot, was it the whole town rioting, or is it just the teams, or?
It was just a bench clearing brawls, but it was a nasty one. It was one where, like, all the cops there were like taking people away in those little plastic handcuffs and like,
and were they still
and
in their
coaches
pads?
Were not being cool. All the coaches were fighting too. And as soon as a coach would be reasonable, some other coach would come and shove them in the back and make them not reasonable.
You don't see a bench clearing football fight too often. You know, it's usually baseball.
Yeah, that's true.
Or hockey. Baseball, it's part, and hockey, it's part of the game.
Yeah. Almost. But football, I never, I mean, they're all you know, protect it. So
yeah, you really don't see a fight that much.
Well, when you see two guys, you'll see once a year grab each other's helmets and not let go of each other and just start. You're like, wow. Because they get suspended, I guess, in hockey. You don't? I don't know about hockey.
In hockey, you get praised.
Yeah. Do you get suspended for a fight?
I don't think so. I think there's, like, if you do something that really can hurt someone in hockey, like if you, like, check someone in their head or against, like, there's illegal checks that if they really can hurt somebody, they'll get suspended for that. Like, you see a hit in hockey that's bad, you're like, oh, how's that person getting up?
I'm a little out of the loop with sports in general, but does hockey still have the thing where if you're fighting with somebody, as long as you're standing up, they'll let you keep fighting?
Until they hit the ground. And it's for the safety of the refs, I think, that so that the ref doesn't get hit. Once they hit the ground, they separate.
They separate. That's
so funny. I'm a part of the generation, like when I was watching hockey as a kid, it was the last of the guys who didn't wear helmets, like Ron Duguay and who's that other guy who was on the Rangers, who was like Gardner or something? They didn't wear helmets, and that was their thing. And I remember Ron Duguay had like this long, flowing hair. It was just the biggest deal that he didn't wear a helmet.
What's his first name?
I think Ron. I think it was Ron Duguay.
Ron Duguay.
Yeah. And
Ron, question for you. Are you going to start wearing a helmet? You're the last one in the league to not wear a helmet.
What was the question?
Oh, no.
Ron, I got a question. When you got hit in the beginning of the game and you bled for so long, did you feel like you lost too much blood?
Sorry, is that a question for me?
Yeah, you're the only one taking questions right now, Ron.
The only one up there, Ryan.
Oh, okay. So this person is not?
Who?
Never mind.
Well, through his double vision, he sees himself sitting next to him. He thinks it's another person.
Ron, I think you should take this one. Yeah.
Oh.
Later at home with his family. Daddy, how come you're the only one who doesn't wear a helmet?
Honey?
Yeah?
What happened?
He's actually talking to the honey on the table.
Honey, you're going to be so good on this peanut butter sandwich. I'm going to...
He doesn't even hear me anymore, Mom.
Yesterday, he tucked me in upside down.
Your father... Your head was where your feet were supposed to be.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do.
Well, that's a fun, different way of sleeping.
Not the way he was doing it. It was no fun at all.
Your father's hair is an inspiration to people all over the country. It would be a crime to hide that hair under a helmet. Don't you think so, Ron?
Candace, that is so lovely of you to say. I will make sure to tell Ron you said that.
Oh, you are Ron, sweetheart.
That's fantastic.
You are Ron. We cut to them later in the bathtub, and this is probably back in the 70s. When what was the shampoo?
Prel.
Swamp. He gave you just this pearly... I think that was it. It has like a pearly sheen to it, and they're both in the bathtub, a nice big bath, and she's washing his beautiful hair.
Oh, it's even longer when wet. Look how long it is.
Oh, thank you, Eunice.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Pleasure. It's Candace.
Oh,
it's
that's Candace. Right. Oh, yeah. Who's Candace?
I am your wife.
That's lovely.
Yes.
She lovingly cleans away the scabs from his head.
Save those scabs in the scab jar.
Oh, of course I will. All of them are just battle scars.
That's a Boston Bruins scab right there.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you so much for never wearing a helmet. I just love it so much. I remember when everybody started wearing them and you were saying,
my God.
Should I do that? Shouldn't I wear a helmet?
Right. We have children now.
Yes, yes.
Think about the future. I'm not going to be able to play hockey for the rest of my life.
I know, but look now. Imagine what your hair would be like if it spent all that time sweaty, crunched under a helmet.
You wouldn't be washing it, I'll tell you that.
I wouldn't get my hands anywhere near
it. Right,
a beam of sunlight from the sunset is passing through the bathroom window as his wife gently brushes his golden mane.
Oh, It's beautiful. Look at that.
The sun is setting.
Yes.
I have to go into the coffin.
This is gorgeous.
I have to go into the coffin.
Into the coffin?
I have to go into the coffin.
Is that why you bought that coffin?
Yeah, it's my chill coffin.
You're going to sleep in there now?
Well, I was thinking about it. It's not so much sleeping as like just sort of my place.
We see once again, his wife's been dead for 2 years. He's talking to one of those little honey bears. Honey bear honeys.
Honey, will you wash my hair again? That's it, honey.
He puts honey in his hair.
Meanwhile, in the kid's bedroom, we have to shave off Dad's head. It's the only way to save him.
And we really should. I think we need a mom now. I'm getting scared. We don't eat right. We just eat honey.
We got the honey bear. We just have to get him to start wearing
it. Kids, whoever's talking in there, tell them to leave your room because you're trying to sleep.
Let's talk some more about that.
Yeah. So what else did he say to interest you? Did you like this story of the coach who tried to act above it all and then just level?
He was saying he was a sore loser, but did he win that game and he was rude? Or was
I said he was a sore winner.
Oh, a sore winner. Okay.
Oh, he's a sore winner.
Well, he was a sore loser before because he lost the year before.
Oh, okay. Mm.
So he's bitching and crying about that to his players and like saying, we're not going to be like they are, you know, and then they were exactly like they were.
Yeah, I love that he was rude and then like backpedaling again, you know.
I've been that guy.
What guy?
The rude guy? The guy behind a bigger guy who will fight for me as I'm loudly insulting people.
I'm usually behind someone bigger than me. That's how I go through life.
Yeah.
Getting behind. So my dad told me when he was in high school in Chicago, he's like, find the biggest guy you know and make friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we grew up in very different high schools. So I think he had to do that.
Yeah. Oh, good game.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
Good game.
Yeah.
Here. Yeah, you guys almost beat us this time, but too bad you guys are not as good as us.
You going to say that right here?
I don't know where else I'd say it.
I'm going to hit you in the face.
I don't think you'd be able to. The way you played the game, I don't think you'd be able to.
Whack! He gets fucking knocked to the ground. Cold cock, Monday morning, coach's meeting. Coach, what were you thinking? You got to get behind the players before you start shit talking.
Yeah, we were all in the locker room. Like,
what was that about? Yeah,
we heard about it. We felt so bad we were in front of you.
I would have had your back, but I was halfway out of my pants.
Yeah, I really blew it that time.
They wired your jaw.
Broke it in two places.
Like, there was nothing in between you and your shit talking.
All right, this game? After we beat the other team, we're going to shit talk and you guys are going to be there.
You can't shit talk with us.
We're going to do it.
Jaw wired.
Just, you could shit talk, but just make sure that we're with you, that we're behind you.
This time, I will.
This isn't motivating at all.
All right, guys, get out there and do some running.
What did he say?
Time.
Get out your hair?
I don't know.
I don't know what he said.
But you did it. Get out there and run through tires.
Run through time.
He's talking in Morse code.
No, I just.
I don't know.
Hey, good game there, coach.
This is the next year.
Good game there, coach.
I don't even know what you're about to say. I can see on your face. You got some snappy one-liner ready. I don't want to hit you again. I got suspended 2 games. Mm. All right, let's just walk away with a handshake.
All right, here.
All right, handshake.
Good game, coach. Good if game. Good means bad.
Oh, man. That's not even a good insult. I'm just going to walk away this time.
Oh, yeah? You're going to walk away?
The coach follows him.
You think you can walk away from me?
Don't come into our locker room.
Hey, nice locker room.
That is crossing the line.
Hey, you guys. Hey, what do you got? Is kettle corn in here?
You dribbling spit out of your mouth.
Jerk? Hey, a jerk? I'm the jerk that'll show you that you're bad at football. How's that?
All right.
Did he just say, I'm sure what he said. What did he say?
I don't know. I heard something, but it was noises.
I heard the word bad in football.
Yeah, that's exactly, that's all you needed to hear.
Bad you're saying we're bad at football?
Yeah.
Let's get them!
So the whole time, the whole team this year beats them to hell this time, just smashes his whole, we cut to coach's meeting next Monday. He's in traction now. He's speaking through one of those,
this game is very important to us to win. To make it to the playoffs.
Coach, maybe this year one of the assistant coaches should talk and do the inspirational speeches because the digital is kind of freaking people out.
What? Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
The coach is a robot.
I do shit talking because I talk the shit. Now get out there and put on your shoes and run through tires.
Is there a different filter we can put on that computer?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't like this voice.
Yeah, let's try the British GPS woman.
Oh, yeah, maybe that's better.
We cut to halftime.
We're going to go out there. And we are going to show them what we're really made of. Now, do you want to be here?
We cut to the coach with his wife in bed that night, but he still has on the British lady filter.
I stopped eating egg rolls an hour ago.
I'm uncomfortable with this. What other voices are in this thing?
Well, this is the voice. I don't know how to program this thing. It's like one of those universal remotes, just completely clueless with
them. There's got to be some other way of doing it.
Now, come on.
Jumbo we cut to a couple of years later, his daughter's coming home with her date, the quarterback of the football team.
It's nice to meet you. I was a big fan when you were a coach back in the 90s.
Oh, lovely. Thank you so much. It's such a, would you care for some tea?
Oh, I heard about your British filter voice. It's cool.
Oh,
you like tea too?
Oh, yes.
You went with the filter?
I've completely transformed into an Empress Dowager. Yes.
My father's really changed a lot in the last couple of years.
Please use a doily if you're going to place a cup.
I was disappointed to hear you'd quit coaching.
Oh, twere you? Well, I'm disappointed.
That's worse.
Well, I'm disappointed that my daughter brought you home. How about you? How do you feel about that?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Sweetheart. He's still aggressive.
Sweetheart.
No, no shit talking. No shit talking.
Oh, man.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, my stars.
Let's talk some more about that.
We didn't get to do any bananagrams. Do we even remember any more words from that day?
There's a couple of those Scrabble words that were being thrown around.
Like what?
Like the X. Yeah.
That's what I don't know.
XI. Yeah. Was
G.
One of,
yeah.
Yeah.
What does XI mean?
It's like, oh no, what it was. It was, the chi. Yeah.
QI?
QI. QI. Like, yes. Yeah. For like Qui Gon, what Qui Gon? Yeah,
I don't know what that means.
I don't know, but I know there's a lot of QIs, and then I remember there was like a lot of like scrambling for like that. There'd be one tile left, and then no one wanted it because it would be like the Q or the.
Yeah, that was a fast-paced game. Yeah.
It's really
like
fast.
Five of us playing.
Cool. It's fun.
Peel, peel,
peel,
peel, yeah. Peel.
Do you play, Brett?
Bananagrams? I don't think I've ever played.
It's enjoyable.
Yeah,
it is. It's enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like except Scrabble when you lose or something.
Yeah, it's similar to Scrabble.
Yeah,
you make your own crossword with the letters that you get, kind of thing. It's a
cross between Scrabble and Boggle, maybe.
There you go.
I like Boggle more than Scrabble.
It's also got a crossword.
Yeah, it's definitely a crossword.
Crossword element too. Mm-hmm. Well, it's hugely crossword. Right?
I'm not sure I was doing the crossword element right. Are you? Is the word supposed to have to work both ways if you put something up next to it?
Yeah. Well,
like Scrabble. Yeah.
Yeah. If there's a corner, you have to put get the words have to spell.
Okay.
Everything has to make a word. Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah. I stopped playing Words of Friends. I keep thinking I'm going to play Words of Friends, and then I start, and then I lose it. I've lost interest. I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time where I loved it, and now I'm just like, I don't
never
know.
Played it. We're on an airplane. What are you playing there?
That's
that Words of Friends?
Yeah, I'm playing Words of Friends. It's not, you know, I signed up for Go-Go and
I didn't like the title.
Oh, well.
Is it an actual friend?
With whom I'm playing? Yes, I'm playing with a friend.
Just seems weird.
Hey, I couldn't help over here. You playing Words with Friends?
Yes.
Why don't you, when we get on the game?
I don't believe I know you.
Call me your friend.
Well,
hook me up with that gang, I'm gonna beat your ass.
Hey,
whoa,
I don't know.
Thank
you.
Whoa, whoa.
I don't think
I'm a fucking spell. No, dude, you know, don't put that ding down. I'm telling, come on. I want to play if Words with Friends. You want to play Words with Friends?
No. Is everything all right over here?
No, not at all. This guy is threatening him to be his friend, hey, so listen, they can play for Words with Friends.
Excuse me, I will defend myself. I'll defend myself.
I don't like a fight occurring over mine.
I'm not trying to fight.
Because you're the middle seat doesn't mean that we're going to fight around you.
No, I mean, there's no fight at all. I just want to beat your ass and Words with Friends.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see the confusion. He just wants to beat your ass and Words with Friends. Yeah,
I'm not. This is not violent.
I thought I heard make me your friend for Words with Friends, or I'm going to beat your ass. No, I want to beat your ass.
Well, make him your friend. Make him your friend.
This is not a way that I make friends. I make friends because we strike up a conversation.
Uh-huh. What are we doing right now?
Well, I guess we're having a conversation.
People make friends on airplanes all the time. This is a place where people meet all. Believe me, I see it all the time. People are always making friends on airplanes. There's nothing strange.
Okay, but we're all strangers right now as we exist right now.
Not anymore, actually. Not anymore. What's your name?
My name's Larry.
Okay, Larry, what's your name?
Dwen.
Larry and Dwen. And what's your name, sir?
Fignagle.
Larry, Fignagle, and Dwen. Well, now you all know each other's names. You're all friends. And look at that. Friends made
and
on
what
the
is
plane.
Your name?
My name is Sebastiano.
Sebastiano, yes. Would you be a friend and get me a Bloody Mary?
My pleasure. Absolutely. Anybody else want anything here?
Yeah, give me a Bloody Nail.
Wow, you're really going for it. Okay. Anything now, for you, Fitznagle?
I'll just have some tomato juice with some pepper.
Okay, great. Look at you, friends. Get started playing Words with Friends.
I don't know.
Let's do it.
Okay, if only if it'll end this. What is your handle? I'll sign you in.
Montgomery Cliff.
That's your handle?
I'm a big fan.
Of Montgomery Cliff?
Yeah.
All right.
He has day.
Yeah, he's a fantastic actor.
Are you really a fan of Montgomery Cliff?
Am I? You think I'd put that
you
handle on
you seem a little
him?
Young.
Well,
for a Montgomery Cliff
thank you.
Fan.
Well, my father and his grandfather, that means my great-grandfather, were actors back in the 1930s.
And your grandfather wasn't?
Grandfather had no interest.
They skipped a generation.
Skipped a generation.
So it probably skipped you too.
Well, yes. It does a leapfrog.
Oh, okay. So your child will be an actor.
I have no children.
Oh. Well, you better have children if you want an actor.
What if I just want to play Words with Friends on a plane?
Okay.
To forget about my no children life that I live.
Oh, is that where your anger comes from?
And we cut to his child that was never delivered to him, caught in the child tube somewhere between Mississippi and Illinois. And after the great explosion, people assumed all the children in the tube had died, but some had survived. And his kid had grown up in that child tube.
So here, everyone, I wrote up the scripts for her play. I just know that I'm an actor, and I want everyone to act along with me in this tube.
You're natural. You're a natural. Oh,
thank you.
I don't think I have the energy to put on a play here in the stopped up child tube. I'm just trying to survive.
Conserve your energy. Conserve your oxygen.
Save it for performance. Save it for performance.
Since the explosion, I don't think the tube is working anymore. I think it's on us to climb to safety.
It is on us to create a fantasy world where we can escape this terrible place.
So some children survived on eating the remnants of other children and on the corn that started to grow out of the tube. And besides this group of children that grew and evolved, so did their entertainment, because it's like having a country that's not doesn't have television. Like their own entertainment and their own acting style evolved and really surpassed what was happening out in the rest of the world, until one day in her late 50s, the tube finally collapsed and the children found their way. And this woman went to her first audition in the real acting world.
Hello.
Oh, we're so glad to have you.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me. Heard so much about your two performances.
Oh, thank you so much.
I hear they were amazing.
I know.
They blew up.
I was very lucky to be raised in that kind of environment, and we have such a free time. I call it my salad days.
This is, I think, the first time we've seen an actor from the tube scene work. I mean, this is very
exciting. We're really excited about this.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for seeing me.
You know how to read a normal script, I assume.
I believe so. I
don't want to be insulting.
I was raised in a corn tube, so I understand. I get it all the time, believe me. You're not used to corners. And it's true, I'm not used to corners because I was raised in a cylinder.
Any questions about the script? I know you don't know a lot about the outside world's culture, so maybe some of the...
No, just that these are the words or lines, right? That I will be reading?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes.
You
have the same kind of script. A script in the tube is the same as a script outside the tube.
I think so.
Yeah. So you'll be reading the part of Azalea, and in this scene, she's telling her daughter goodbye as she goes to college.
That's right.
It's a big emotional moment.
That's really, and college is a... It's a,
place it's like where a school, school where that you go away to.
Oh, it's not where cows get slaughtered.
No, that's the train.
That's like a kosher slaughterhouse. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's different.
Yes, it's different.
Any other questions before we do the lines?
No, college is not a kosher slaughterhouse.
Right.
No. And I'm the mother of the daughter who's not going to the slaughterhouse.
There's no
slaughterhouse. Or the college. Yes, she is going to college.
She's going to college. Mm-hmm. And my name is Azalea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And my daughter is going to
college.
Yes.
And the way we start scenes is to say action, okay?
Who? I say
we'll
action?
Say no, I will.
Oh, okay.
And then you can start the scenes.
And once you
have
say
the first
action,
line.
I will say
action.
Azalea. Dogater, I will miss you when you go to college. But I know that this is a good experience. See?
And the cast directors look at each other. Because it is amazing for acting, but she clearly doesn't know so many of the words of our culture.
I want you to stay to yourself, and rememberize.
Okay, we're going to stop you there. It's college, not colleague. Or whatever you say.
College? Yeah. It says college here. It's college. Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because you said college, and then when I read it, it's a college.
Do you want to just improvise without getting bogged down by the words in the script?
And improvise is when you take TNT to corn?
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
But that's not what we have in mind.
In this context, it's a little different.
Okay.
Just what would you say to a daughter going off to not a slaughterhouse, but a school?
School. To get an education.
My daughter.
Yes.
You've lived with her for 18 years, give or take.
You want to impart wisdom to her from what you've learned of the world, you know.
Mm-hmm. Stay low in the tube. Eat. Don't be eaten. And if anything looks like dynamite, it is dynamite.
Humans, what can we plug here? Anything you guys want to plug? How about your lunch shows daily?
Oh, yeah. Lunch Prov. We're about to go do it.
Yeah. Very excited.
At 1 o'clock. It's too late for you to come to this show, but hopefully it'll be a regular show at the UCB.
But what is the rotation? It's on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. It's not every Wednesday.
I don't have another one scheduled. No, we have
just experiment.
Yeah, it's an experiment.
See what happens.
I have no idea how many people are going to come.
But Wednesday, your theory is people our age are too tired to improvise at night.
Yes.
So let's give them our full energy in the middle of the day.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that's a lot of sense.
Theory.
It's 10:30 shows. Forget it.
Forget it.
Wow, that's like a half prank asleep. When someone asked me to do one of those.
Yes.
Fuck you.
Half asleep. The amount of Diet Coke I have to drink to get up for a 9 p.m. show. Whew. Forget it.
Oh, the amount of Diet Coke.
Yeah. So it's a daytime, lunchtime improv show, and I don't know if there's an audience for it, but we're going to find out very soon.
We'll find out.
Yeah. What about you guys? You want to plug anything?
I don't really have anything to plug, I don't think. You know, I don't really do that much.
I'm doing the Lunch Prop show.
Yeah, I'm doing the Lunch Prop show, too, and I do Facebook Wednesdays, 9:30 p.m.
Oh, there's something.
And UCB Franklin. It's a really fun show.
Humont, I'm going to be at Outside Lands at Grasslands, a new place at Outside Lands where people smoke grass officially, and I'm doing my weed show there. Ooh. So if you're in San Francisco at Outside Lands, come see me there. I think it's at 2:20 p.m. on Sunday. Speaking of afternoon show.
I'll be there.
You're going to be there?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, off book.
Oh, you're going to be recording. How lucky you get to go there.
That's crazy.
You're going to play too?
In off book in the podcast.
Brett, I didn't know you were going to be there. Are you going to stay for Paul Simon?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, dude, I have someone to watch Paul Simon with.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I want to have a bet we do where we... He'll play 20 songs, right? At least.
His show, I went to a show last year at the Bowl. It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Okay, don't give me spoilers. This is the bet I want to do.
Okay.
We all write down what we think the set will be.
Oh, okay.
And the order. And the closest.
Wow. Out of 20 songs, you're saying?
I assume it's a 20-song set. We'll make it that.
Mm. Start with what he's gonna open with, right?
I'm going to say Obvious Child.
Oh, you think he's going to open with Obvious Child?
The drums. You want to start with something like that.
I love Obvious Child.
Yeah, should I tell you anything?
All right, tell us the opening song.
It's all Cape Man, right? It's all Cape Man.
I saw Cape Man on Broadway.
Uh-huh. Did you?
Yeah. He plays a lot of Rhythm of the Saints, which is one of my favorite albums of his.
I would guess that.
Born at the Right Time and all that stuff.
Yeah, he plays a lot of that. And he had like a string section with him, like the small like quintet. It was pretty awesome. It was really great. Really great songs. Hmm. I've seen him twice now at the Bowl.
Really?
Really good times.
Is this his retirement? Is he wrapping up?
Yeah.
That was I thought he was wrapping up last year. But
they
I guess
say
he's still
he may
up.
Die at the end of the set.
Oh.
Wow.
At Art Garfunkel's hands?
He's going to sing The Sounds of Silence and then go silent.
When the first year I saw him at the Bowl, during Sounds of Silence, it was his encore. He played, it was almost like that. You know, at the Bowl, every once in a while you hear, and like someone just drops a big wine bottle and it rolls down like the cement stairs. So it goes, hey, you fuck, you just spilled wine all over me. I don't know, I just had wine. Well, fuck you. Well, fuck you. And then right behind us, people were like fist fighting over the thing. And it was like, I was like, guys, it's Sound of Silence. And they were like, yeah, they were fighting. It was very odd. It was perfect.
That's a great soundtrack for a fight.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, darkness, smile.
Very poetic.
Do you know Kodachrome?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
man.
Most such a good people don't. You don't.
Really? Of course I do.
Do you?
Kodachrome?
Yeah.
I would say most like people don't.
Give me a little
no break. Way.
Really? Yeah. Just what? The tune. Like, I don't think a lot of people will be able to name. Oh, that's Kodachrome. But doesn't that feel like a
that's
melody
the best
we've
hits.
All
nice brown colors. Maybe in the spring of the summer. Makes you think all the world a sunny day. Oh, yeah. I got a Nikon camera. I'd love to take my photographs. So mama, don't take my Kodachrome away.
Josh, you never heard that song, have you?
Mama,
you do?
That's a popular song.
It's a huge song.
Well, it was. Where do you hear music these days that you haven't chosen yourself?
Exactly. That would be another bet we can do there. We'll do it on Zach and Jess.
Oh, yeah.
I'll bet heard that it. They do not know Kodachrome.
Really?
Yeah. They all started on Graceland.
Yeah.
Boom.
I'm telling you.
The Mississippi Delta was shining like a national guitar.
So they might have been too young for Graceland.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Sometimes
they're big Stranger to Stranger fans.
The ultimate road trip album.
Yeah,
it's such a great album.
Great album.
Such and how right. I can
definitely
not, I
keep this in the show, Brett.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Be a good human. Listen to Matt's new improvised series, Mind and Wife, The Robot Car, out now on Stitcher Premium. Check out Matt Besser's Patreon podcast called Professor Besser. Listen to Stolen Idea, Matt, Bobby and Brett's epic punk rock musical on Stitcher Premium, and tell your friends. Rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. Follow Matt Besser on Twitter to submit your suggestions. Tell your friends about the best podcast in the universe. Music by Dragoon. This has been Improv for Humans.